fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Farai.
I thank God for each one of you that has made it. This is Memorial Weekend, isn't it? And I want to take this time to acknowledge all those who have served. If you have served and you are in the house, we would like you to stand and we want to acknowledge your service to this country. Any servicemen? Amen. Thank you so much. We want to thank you, and we want to remember all those who lost their lives for our freedom. There is nothing for any service family. There's nothing like seeing the man from the army come to your door, and you get that knock, and immediately and instinctively you know that something is wrong. There are many who have received such calls, and we want to acknowledge those who have lost loved ones for the sake of freedom. Like one person said, freedom is not free. We are free because people have given their lives, people have given their time, people have given many things in order for us to be free. So thank you. Thank you for serving us. Come with me now as we look at the message entitled, True Freedom. True Freedom. I especially chose to speak on this subject, remembering that this is Memorial Weekend, where we celebrate the freedom that has come to us at the expense and at the loss of lives of many. And we know that even when it pertains to our spiritual lives, we stand in freedom because there is one who died. And so what I need us to understand is that freedom is costly and freedom is never free, no matter how you slice it. But this morning, as we prepare to go into the Word, we want to invite the Spirit of God to be present, because if not, if I am left to myself, I will not be able to get this message across. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and we want to thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that this morning, as we reflect on your word, that your Holy Spirit will hide me behind the shadow of the cross. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to your people so that they will understand the message that you have for them. Lord, I pray that you grant to me clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, that you use me as you so desire. And Lord, I pray that when all has been said and done, you save us into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. And thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so we are going to talk about freedom today. Freedom. If the truth be told, when it comes to the issue of freedom, we get all tangled up. Whether it be freedom in the country or freedom spiritually. I watched a video, and it was circulating a couple of years ago, where a reporter, I've forgotten his name, he would do social experiments where he would have actors who would beat up on people from, you know, who looked like were from one of the Islamic countries. And so one of the actors would start, you know, telling them, you go back home, you know, just say ugly things to them. And the cameraman would kind of observe to see what people would do in a situation like that. There were times when people just, you know, decided, well, I'm not going to get involved in any of this. I'm just going to keep quiet. There were others who in their hearts said, well, this is a free country. Everyone has freedom of expression. And, you know, one can say whatever they want to say. But one video that comes very prominently in my mind was one where there was a serviceman in that restaurant. And as that person began to berate and to tell that person who seemed to come from an Islamic country to go back to their home, to go back where they came from, he stood up in defense of this family that was under attack. And he specifically said to the person who was acting out that he had gone to fight for freedom, even for the freedom of this person that they were oppressing. And so there is a confusion about freedom because the actor, you know, went on to say, hey, I've got freedom of speech and so forth. But the serviceman said, you know, your freedom ends where this person's freedom begins. And so there is confusion that is out there, you know, concerning freedom. And in fact, both young and old are now even getting confused about freedom. You see, the word out there about freedom is that freedom means I am free to do whatever I want to do. I am free to dictate my terms. I am free to define things the way I want. I want no limits set on me. I want to be free to do and to be whatever I want to be. And that sounds good until we take it to its logical conclusion. What is freedom? And indeed, when you say you are free, are you really free? Are you really free? I remember when I was in my parents' home, and every child has gone through that stage where you are saying, I can't wait to get out of here. Sometimes you are so mad, you know, we're the generation that didn't say it out. The generation these days, they will say it out. I hate you. Get out of my life. We may have said it in our hearts because you would not be standing after saying that. You would receive a backhand that would send stars. You would start to see stars. But this is not to say that we didn't think that at times. And yet, after you had said that, you realized that you still needed your parents. In fact, there was a book that was out there many, many years back, which said, get out of my life. But can you please take me to the mall? I want to be free. And yet you discover that with that freedom comes restrictions. Oh, I remember when I was still a student, when my parents were paying the fees, I mean, it was a good life. And I always imagined, I always wanted, you know, you're never satisfied. You can't wait for the time when you are in your own home, when you're doing your own stuff. But as I look back, I say, Lord, those were the best days of my life. When I didn't have a care to think about. I didn't care where my tuition came from. I didn't care where my food came from. Everything was taken care of for me. Now I am free. But with that freedom now comes responsibility. If I don't work, there is no food on the table. But the prevailing thought right now is, be free. Be free to do whatever you want to do. Be free to define terms the way you want to define them. If you feel a certain way, go with it. If they tell us religion is restrictive. Let's get up from under there. It simply tells you, don't do this, don't do that. You be free to do whatever you want to do. And so we have a teaching out there that is saying, I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm going to do me. I'm going to define truth as I want it. In fact, those who label generations saying we are in the post-truth generation. Post-truth. In other words, what they are saying is there is no ultimate truth out there. Whatever I deem to be truth, that is truth for me. And that's why you have people who will tell you, this is my truth. We have privatized truth. But then by definition, truth is exclusive. And so what we now say is everything is okay. But everything cannot be okay. We cannot ultimately be in a post-truth era because truth is truth. And truths are not equal. In fact, if something is true, then it means something else is not true. Anything else that is outside of that truth is not truth. But we live in a world that is saying now, don't judge me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. And we have imbibed this, and we are now becoming confused in our thinking. Because when you really look at it logically, you cannot live in a world where there is no truth. And you cannot live in a world where everything is truth. Because if everything is truth, who becomes the referee when you say, I am right and you are right? If everything is right. And the truth of the matter is we don't live life that way. We know from experience that truth is truth. 2 plus 2 is still 4. You can choose to say it's 7, but the truth is that it's 4. And here's the thing. Let's try and take this whole thing to its logical conclusion, where you tell yourself, I am going to define my truth. So I can decide, I don't care for the law of gravity. From now on, gravity doesn't work. In fact, if I jump off the building, I'll go up instead of going down. I can believe that as much as I want. I can believe it with fervor. I can lose my life over that truth. But I can tell you for sure, if I go on top of the highest building and jump from there, the truth will happen. The truth will take place. And so this freedom that suggests to you and to me that we can do and be whatever we want to be, we must throw it out because it does not work. Young people, I want you to know that what the world is trying to sell us, that you don't have to listen to anybody, you are your own definition. That does not work in life. We are made to live in community, and when we break the laws of life, you are going to find that you will lose the very freedom that you want. So if I decide today, I want to be free to eat anything I want to eat. Very soon I will lose my freedom. You get what I'm saying? Very soon I will lose my freedom because my arteries are going to get clogged. I'm going to put on so much weight that I won't be able to move around. I will become restricted. And so you are going to find that that freedom now becomes a slave. It becomes slavery. You think you are free, but you are going to find that freedom is really complicated. There are so many layers to freedom. And I just want to put this across that don't buy into this idea that you can just define things the way you want, because life is going to happen to you. And truth will come out to be truth, because you will soon discover that your freedom soon enough becomes slavery. Let us now go to our text as we look at the Word of God, as we again want to look at this freedom that the Bible speaks about. Come with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And verse 1, and it says here, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The Word of God here tells us that Christ calls us into freedom, and he calls us to stand in that freedom and not go back to the yoke of slavery. What was Paul talking about here in the book of Galatians? We know that in the book of Galatians, Paul is trying to tell the believers that there was once a time when the law was your schoolmaster. And now he is saying when Christ came, the law no longer became your schoolmaster, and now you are under Christ. And we know that out there, many believers have taken this to then say, the law has been done away with. The law no longer applies to anything. I am now free to be and to do whatever I want to do. But what we are going to find is that when we take on that way of thinking, it is no different from the thinking of the world. What was Paul really saying here when he says the law was your schoolmaster and now you are in Christ and now you have the freedom in Christ? You see, when Christ came and died on the cross, he purchased our freedom. And the Word of God tells us that we were adopted into sons and daughters of God. And so when Paul says the law was your school teacher who was pointing you to Christ, what Paul is saying to us was that before Christ came, all that was there to help us to define life was the law. We lived for the law. We acted in accordance with the law. We would come to the law to say, law, how am I doing? And the law would always say, it's not looking good for you. You have broken the law once again. You are not going to make it. The door has been closed for you because you have sinned and you have fallen short of the glory of God. And so what he is saying to them is, when before Christ came, the law was what was guiding you. You lived for the law. You checked with the law, how am I doing? But then when Christ came, Christ brought us freedom. But what does that freedom mean? Did it then mean that the law no longer has any work to do? That the law no longer functions in our lives? Let me give an illustration here, which I believe is what Paul here is trying to say. If we would come to Paul and say, Paul, so what you're saying here is that the law no longer has any work in my life. The law no longer has application in my life. He would say, you are out of your mind. He would say, you have missed the point. You see what Paul was trying to say. And if you read through the book of Galatians, you will see that he is trying to tell the believers that you are sons and daughters of God, and there is a freedom that comes with being a son and a daughter of God. And I will explain that in just a little bit. So what does he mean when he says the law was your schoolmaster? If you play the piano, When you start off, you have to know the notes. You have to know your place on the keyboard. I've tried piano. It didn't work for me. I knew where the C was. You know, you have to know, you know, where the C is. You need to know the notes. You need to be able to read the notes. In fact, I remember when I would be playing, I would be looking at the keys. I'm stuck to the keys. I have to follow the rules of piano playing. The rules were my school master. I had to follow. I had to look. But you see, if I had continued playing, if I continued putting in the hours, there will come a time when I am no longer looking at the keyboard. Because I now know where every key is. There now comes a time when I no longer need to look at the notes. I simply need to hear you singing, and immediately the arrangement comes in my mind because I have put in the work. And at that point, this is now in my DNA. Does it mean that I am no longer following the rules? No. What it simply means is that the rules are now in me to such a point that now I can play around with it. I can make them into different configurations. I can be able to play without looking at the keyboard. You see, the rules were my schoolmaster back then. When I was looking at the board, when I kept on checking, is this the right key? But once I have mastered, I no longer have to do that. And that's why the book of Jeremiah says the new covenant is that God writes his law in our hearts. It's no longer on tablets of stones, but he writes it in our very hearts so that the law continues to operate in my heart. It continues to tell me what is right and wrong, but I'm no longer always referencing, how am I doing? Is everything okay? Because it's all up in there. I know what is going on, and I operate now from a different point of view. You see, what Paul is saying is, when you continue to make the law your schoolmaster, you really cannot love God, because there's a rebellious attitude in each one of us. The moment you are told not to do something, you want to do it. And tell the truth, the moment you are told not to do something, you want to find out, how can I still do what I am required to do with the least possible effort? And so what Paul is saying is, the freedom with which Christ has brought you into is a freedom that is based on the fact that he has died for your sins, and so you can be forgiven. You see, the law, all it does is condemn you. All it does is tell you, you have done correctly or you have not done correctly. And when you have not done correctly, you are stuck and you don't know what to do. But he says, you have been called into the freedom of Christ, so that when I have failed, when the law tells me I have failed, I can come to Christ and receive forgiveness. You see, there's a difference between someone who is a son, who is a child of the house, and someone who is not. And Paul gives the analogy here of the son of the bondwoman and the son of the free woman. You see, if you are not really the son of the stock, you do not have the inheritance. But if you are a son, you know that there's a freedom of being a child. You see, if God is your boss, and this is how many of us live our lives, we look at God as our slave master or as our boss. And there's a difference when you see someone as a boss and when you are a child. You see, when you are in a relationship where someone is your boss and you are a worker, there are certain rules that apply, and you can be fired if you do not conform. Is that true? And every time you are doing well, You come to your boss and you say, "Boss, it's review time. I fulfilled what you told me to do, and now I need my raise." And that is the kind of relationship that some of us have with God, a transactional kind of relationship with God, where God is our boss. And we come to him and we say, "God, I've been good. I've not been naughty. I've been nice. And so I need you to do what you need to do. I need you to give me health. I need you to make sure that everything is going well for me." But you see, if you are a child, it's different. None of us, I hope no one in here, none of us has ever disowned our child because they have done something wrong. In fact, what usually happens is that as a parent, you are drawn to that child who is doing something wrong because it pains you to your core and you want something better for that child. And you do everything to try and show that child that you love them and that they can do better because they are better, because they belong to a certain family. And so what Paul here is saying is, you have been adopted as sons and daughters of God, and you have been brought into a freedom of being sons and daughters of God, so that when you have messed up, you can know that God is not going to simply fire you. Just because you have messed up doesn't mean that you no longer have rights. A father will continue to love their child no matter what they do. And what Paul is saying here is, enter into the freedom of being sons and daughters of God, to know that you are loved, to know that God is your father. Let your love come, let your doing of right come from feeling the love of God and saying, "I got to do right. I belong to the family of God. I am loved dearly." And when it comes from that place, not simply from the place of do right, there's a difference there. The change becomes more abiding because it is a change that comes from within, a change that comes from knowing that you are loved, a change that comes from knowing that even when I have messed up, I will not be thrown away. Some of us have given up. Some of us have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. It's because we have been so with the law, consulting the law every time and failing to see that the law is simply pointing us to Jesus who washes away our sins. What Paul is saying here is, remember that you are a son and daughter of God. God is not your boss. God is your father. He loves you. He wants better for you. It doesn't mean that the law no longer applies. It simply means that I am approaching the law from a different point of view. I now live my life with the law as my DNA, and so I don't need to keep on referencing it, but all I can do is to live it out because I am the son and daughter of God. I begin to look at the law differently. I'm no longer trying to do the least. I am doing the most. And there's a freedom that comes with that. I know some of you will be saying, "How is that freedom?" Look at relationships. When you fall in love with someone, that love comes with restrictions. But those restrictions are not a burden because you love the person. I was talking to one chaplain. I met him. You know, you could tell that he had not had much sleep. And as I was talking to him, he told me, "Pastor, we just had a baby. And, you know, I've been up all night long." And he said, "You know, it's a labor of love. I don't even know how I do it. But, you know, it comes with the territory." And so I turned to him and said, "You know, the reason why you are at work today, the reason why you continue to do what you do, the reason why you are not resentful to your child because they have kept you up all night long, is because it's actuated by love." You see, that kind of freedom has restrictions, but those are restrictions that you impose on yourself based on the love that you have for the person. And that's the difference that Paul here is trying to make. That if you are a slave to the law, it's burdensome. But if you understand that you are the Son of God, you will want to do what God tells you to do. That is a different kind of freedom. That is the freedom to which He is calling us. Maybe someone here is saying, "Pastor, you know, the illustrations that you have given, you know, the child, all they want is, you know, is give me. They have nothing to give back to me." Or in a relationship, you know, how can you make the argument of the relationship with God? God has not given me anything. He's simply telling me, do this, do that. I beg to differ. I want to show you today that in this relationship with God, God has also given. In order for a relationship to work, you lose some freedoms for the greater freedom. And God lost His freedom when Jesus came down here on earth. He became man. He will forever have the scars in His hands. He lost the freedom. The Bible says He did not count it robbery to be equal with God, but He brought Himself low, even to the point of dying on the cross of Calvary. God limited Himself in order to give you freedom. And so what is it for you to do what He says? The context becomes different. He's calling us to the largeness of the freedom of being sons and daughters of God. Do you accept that? Or do you want to be under the law and let the law simply lead and guide you? And I say this to us as a church, we have to be careful. The law, we must uphold the law as being valid because of the teachings that are out there that are saying the law is no longer valid. But even as we teach that, let us be careful that it does not become front and center, that it does not become, you know, our reference point where I'm always checking with the law, how am I doing? The Bible says Christ wants to write His law in our hearts so that we are simply operating from that. There is a freedom that comes with it. And God is calling you to that freedom. Will you take that freedom? Let us rise as we pray. Father in heaven, You call us to a unique kind of freedom. A freedom to do and to act because Your law is now written in our hearts and not on tablets of stone. You call us to become Your sons and daughters and not just slaves. And Lord, we come before You thanking You for adopting us. Many of us feel unlovable. Many of us feel that You cannot take us because the law tells us that we have done wrong. But what we fail to see is that the law is pointing us to Christ who is able to fix us. Help us, O God, to live under the privilege of knowing that we are Your sons and daughters. Help us also to understand that the freedom in which You are calling us is not like the freedom that the world is bringing to us, that I can be anything I want to be, that I can do anything I want to do. I don't care what anyone else says. But Lord, you are calling us to a different kind of freedom, where we are now free to love because we have been loved, where we are now free to forgive because we have received forgiveness, where we are now free to be and to do all that you have called us to be. And Lord, I pray that we will live up to the name by which we are called sons and daughters of God. And may we reflect our Father. May we reflect our brother, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that everyone within the sound of my voice will accept the freedom that comes in Christ, that writes your law in our hearts, that allows us to operate in that kind of freedom. Bless us, Lord, to receive your word, and may it liberate us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church at 1024 Adams Street Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at www.bethelgr.com, and the phone number is 616-243-3182. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.